Welcome back to 32 Fans. I'm Alex Chester. With me, as always, is Wheels Wienerker. Keeve, I'm not sure why I'm even co-hosting an NFL podcast anymore. I haven't watched a football game in like forever.
Well, I mean, you have a good reason. We had the holidays, so it was harder for us to watch, but I think you have a pretty good reason not to watch this weekend, right?
Well, yeah, more holidays. Yeah, so I had a funeral on Sunday afternoon, then I got home from the funeral, and then I had a holiday for Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday. And then Tuesday night, as soon as the holiday was over, I got in a car and drove 9 hours from Detroit back to New Jersey. And so I had no time even to like watch the highlights of all the games like I've done the previous weeks. And yet, as I've theorized the last couple weeks, you don't actually need to watch football to know what the hell you're talking about, because
yeah, you're in first place in a 100-person pool picking games. So
in two different 100-person pools, running, or the pool of pools is like 45 people.
No, one, 45 people. Yeah. But yeah, you're killing everybody. I've seen the games, although this week I'm doing the worst thing you could possibly do as a football fan.
You're going to a football game, yeah.
Meaning I'll miss, and I mean, it's going to take me a long time to get my grandfather home, so I'll miss the ones and the fours. So you're gonna have to pick up the slack next week and watch the other.
Well, this week, because I'm gonna watch football, so it's probably going to come crashing down. But
oh yeah, you're gonna go like 0-16 picking games.
Yeah, but my picks, I did pretty just straight up winners and losers. I beat you by four last week. I went
for a lot of like road upsets just to try and mix it
Yeah,
up.
You had Cleveland winning in Oakland, you had Detroit winning in Dallas, you had Denver winning at home and Arizona winning at home against better teams.
If you notice all of those things, Denver winning at home, Kansas City. You notice all
those things
were happening and then died in the fourth quarter.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. Yeah, I don't know because I just saw the final scores. Yeah, but even like, you know, I destroyed Bill and Sal in guessing the spreads this week, which I did at like 4 in the morning or 6 in the morning or something early this morning after.
Should we copy Bill and do an NBA meme bracket instead of talking about football?
Well, fortunately, next week we're actually not doing a football podcast, right? We're doing a cereal podcast, so.
Well, does that get us out of it? I think we still have to do a football podcast.
So it's a two-episode week next week then?
I mean, maybe. I mean, we'll see. I mean, also, it's going to take a little while to edit the cereal podcast.
Yeah.
You have to edit out like the eating and stuff. I came home. I have all 32. A lot of people, by the way, sent messages like, tell Chester he can't pull the candy bar thing again. Like, he's got to edit out all the chewing from this one. I think we
should.
It's not
just chewing.
They're
slurping. Also, it's going to be disgusting.
Yeah, it's going to be much grosser. I think, like, we should eat the whole first round of stuff. Like, we leave the mic on, but assume we're going to edit everything out. And then come back and sort of, like, give our take.
We do have to discuss, like, the practical recording ramifications of that podcast, but we don't need to do it on this podcast.
Yes. We don't have to do it now. But I do have 32 boxes of cereal in this house, although one of them is ineligible. I asked my mom, like every 35-year-old should do, hey, Mom, can you stop at the supermarket and pick up Cocoa Puffs? because we have to knock out Frosted Mini Wheats. My brother-in-law, who's really into cereal and wants to come observe, he also wants to bring his nanny because she's like, she doesn't speak English, but she's really into cereal. He thinks she'd be very into it. I think that it would be a good idea. We'd have to like, I'm not sure she knows what a podcast is, like Mark Plow and Menachem Zomber, but I think it would add.
By the way, I had one of the entrants to our tournament for the first time ever this morning, and it was disgusting. I had it by mistake. I almost vomited.
What'd you eat? Oh, well, don't say it now. Why don't you
say
it?
I gotta
save
all these takes for
Saturday night.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, listen, you should save your cereal takes for the one cereal podcast. I think that's reasonable. But my brother-in-law was upset. He looked through the cool bracket. If you haven't seen the bracket, check my Twitter or the 32 Fans Facebook feed. My 12-year-old daughter made an awesome bracket of the cereal tournament after we randomized the selections.
Is there any skill you have better than your children?
I mean, my daughter can cook better than me.
No, I'm saying, is there anything you can do better than her?
Probably, like, I could, like, lift more stuff. Probably.
It's probably pretty close.
No, I'm strong. Wait, my
I'm
wife.
Strong.
My wife
I'm not
never
like
says,
anybody. Everybody says I'm strong.
No, my wife, who never says anything nice or even like medium about me, says I'm strong.
Okay.
So my brother-in-law said, "Where are Cocoa Krispies?" And I like had to go back through all our emails, and I don't know what happened, but do you think that's a big omission? Do we have to worry about why Cocoa Krispies are not in the bracket or no?
So Cocoa Krispies are a chocolate version of Rice Krispies?
Yeah, Cocoa Krispies are
okay,
two
but we have cocoa pebbles. We have cocoa
And we have
balls.
Rice Krispies.
And I've said pops. In the past, like I'm not a psychopath like you. I obviously love chocolate, but chocolate cereals are all disgusting. So
I've never eaten chocolate cereal. This one of my issues with Saturday night is for the first time ever, I'm gonna have to eat Cocoa Pebbles. Cocoa
Do we have to taste all 32? Because I have no interest in eating a bite of Cocoa Pebbles. I know what it tastes like.
It tastes disgusting. I think you need to take at least one bite of all
32. I have to be objective and open-minded? Okay, fine.
Yes. If you just ate a cereal 3 days ago, you don't have to eat it again.
Okay.
I think the cereal you just ate this week, I think you should eat it, but if you were going to skip a couple, I think it's reasonable to skip one you already ate this week.
Even if hypothetically we were only having one bite of each bowl, 32 bites of cereals, you know.
So Travis Allmendinger, yeah. I don't know if you
this
know
is
this,
a, this is incredible.
Travis Allmendinger, the listener, he really wanted to be involved, but I think he's going away. If you want to rob his house, probably a good weekend. He is going away, and he decided to have a fun activity with his kids. He bought all 32 cereals. I sent him the bracket, and they played out their version of the tournament. And he did send me some notes. He said that they each had a bite of all 32 cereals once, and our plan was to keep eating as we go on to the round of 16 and the quarterfinals and the semifinals and the finals. And he said they were beyond full after just the 32 bites of cereal.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what happens when you have 32 bowls of cereal. So.
But it's not 32 bowls. Nobody's making you have a full bowl of cereal.
I'm not a waster. I will not throw out a single. Like, if it's in my bowl, I will finish it. So
yeah, but I'm gonna pour. I'm gonna like.
I see
out.
People like on wine tasting tours who are like spitting it into the bucket. Like those people are maniacs.
That's
consume.
What you're supposed to do on a wine tasting.
That's
tour,
those people are maniacs. I drink to completion. If you put it in my bowl, I will finish it.
All right, let's get to football.
Okay.
Let's do Chester Power Rankings because they're so relevant since he hasn't seen a football game.
My Power Rankings
are
worthless because, as I said last week, like there's only two good teams. Like the Vikings are, you know, are still near the top just because by default, like, you know.
I mean, do you want to do it by kickers? Like, how do you want to rank it? Like, do you have a punter rankings updated? I'll do it by any method that you prefer.
We could do my latest update to the quarterback rankings if you want. Although I think, did we discuss that already?
I mean, I don't want to waste that now. Let's just go. Do you have the games ranked for this week?
In terms of watchability? No, I don't do that till November.
Yeah. All right, so let's just go in order. Normal order of games. Let's preview the games.
I'm waiting for you to start.
Wait, you're the freaking host of this podcast.
I am.
Why are you waiting for me to start?
All right.
I think so.
I have no football takes right now. I'm too way too out of it.
Why? You asked me to do a football podcast. You messaged me, and you're like, hey, let's talk football.
All right, we have an obligation here. I don't, you know, we can make it a quickie.
The Bears and the Bucks, are on bye.
Very odd, by the way.
Two
teams that play each other, not abroad, but you know, in the domestic contiguous 48 states, are then the only two teams on bye the next week. I'm not sure why they did that.
Yeah.
Fitzpatrick's tenure lasted two quarters less than everybody thought it would.
No, two quarters more than everybody thought it would.
No,
everyone thought he was going to play three games. No one on earth thought he was going to play week four in August.
No, but I after the first 3 weeks, the conventional wisdom was he'll play against the Bears and then they'll replace him after the bye.
All right, but he split the baby in the end because he ended up playing
very badly.
Two quarters more than
he was who we thought he was. So, and so were the Bucks. They're 2-2, headed to 5-11. Scotty, sorry.
The Patriots and the Colts is the Thursday night game. It's in New England.
Yeah.
Don't love it.
No, this is your Survivor special.
You know how they say they play every year? I believe they didn't play the last 2 years.
Well, because the Colts weren't winning their division. So, yeah, they weren't playing.
Right. You only automatically play every third year. So they did.
Yeah, you know, one interesting thing, there's really no.
They also played in the playoffs.
I'll say this. You know, there's only a couple of good games this week, but there's no, like, blowouts, like, easy picks for Survivor. There's only one game this week where the spread is more than 7 points, which is this game. So all these games are kind of up in the air. You know, there's only a couple. I mean, Jacksonville-KC obviously is a great game. And Vikings-Eagles, you know, with two teams that have been disappointing in September, but in theory is a good game. Other than that, there's not a lot of great games on the schedule. But, you know.
If I was being a Survivor pick, and I'm out of 100 different Survivor pools at this point, long since out, I think I'd be using the Panthers at home against the Giants.
You know, I thought about the Giants in Anti. You know, the Panthers are coming off a bye. You know, if it should be an easy win for Carolina, but the Giants went into Houston and won. And so, you know, who the hell knows? They do have two home run hitters.
Houston is 1-3. I don't know. You said Houston.
Well,
like,
I'm still a big Houston fan. You know, I picked them to beat Indy. Or to cover. I think I actually had Indy winning that game, unfortunately. But
I mean, I picked them to make the Super Bowl. Yeah. But I'm off that bandwagon.
No, you know, I still think they're better than Tennessee, who's 3-1, for example. Tennessee did impress me a little bit.
Tennessee has good defense.
Yeah. But the problem with that Carolina game is Carolina is not a team that can easily get to, you know, more than the low 20s in points.
Yeah.
And the Giants, it's not impossible that Saquon breaks a 75-yarder and Odell Beckham breaks a 75-yarder, and all of a sudden the Giants have 28 points and they're winning 28-24. So if you're in like a big survivor pool and you have to last the distance, then I think it's a safe week to pick, maybe not even Carolina. It might be a safe week to pick the Giants and anti, because Carolina you might want to save for, you know, I don't know, when Tampa comes to town or something. But
yeah. And you're one of five people left in an anti-survivor pool.
Yeah.
Obviously the nation is rooting against you. All right, Colts at Patriots. Obviously, we're picking the Patriots to win. I'm also going to pick them to cover.
No, I think the Colts are going to cover. It's a lot of points. The Patriots finally getting things right last week, I think, also has a lot to do with the fact that the Dolphins are complete garbage. Although, it is kind of funny. So, I needed a quarterback, and so did you in our League of Leagues Fantasy League. And for some reason, Ryan Tannehill had been dropped the week before, even though he's had a good start to the season. So, he was like the top bid in waivers, and you spent like $23 on him. Is that right?
Yeah.
And I was a little disappointed, and then the second place was Baker Mayfield. I lost out on him, so I had to settle for Josh Allen, third place. Josh Allen scored 1 point for me. But
Baker Mayfield was available?
Yeah.
Oh, I would have spent like 40 on Baker.
Well, I was going to say, so I only got 1 point out of Josh Allen, which was not ideal, but you got zero out of Ryan Tannehill. So.
I got a nice goose egg from Ryan Tannehill.
Which is hard. This isn't even a league that's like particularly negative for interceptions, so I don't even know how we manage that, but yeah. All right, so I have the Colts covering, but all right, let's get to Sunday. You know, the only early game that I think is really interesting. All right, Jacksonville KC, is that an early game? Yes.
I'm really not missing much. Yeah. I'm not like Falcons Steelers is a good game.
Well,
and Jacksonville KC, no,
well,
I am.
Falcons Steelers is, you know, those are two teams that each only have one win, and each should have a lot more.
They're desperate,
right? Atlanta's problem is their defense. Their offense has become good. Right, they've sort of solved the problems that they had, you know, having lost their offense coordinator 2 years ago. Sark has been vastly improved, but their defense is so terrible. I mean, you should not be giving up 37 points at home to the Bengals.
Well, they lost two defenders in week one.
Yeah, they lost Deion James, sure, who's probably their best defensive player. I'm picking Atlanta to cover. I'm going to pick Pittsburgh to win a very close game at home, but. I don't know why there's that extra half.
If the Falcons were able to turn it around, Matt Ryan would be a serious MVP.
The Falcons are a better team than the Steelers, so this line is wrong. It should not be 3.5. It should probably be 2.5.
I think this is a really good game because it's in Pittsburgh also. This might be madness like the Cincy game last week.
Yeah, again, I think the loser of this game is not going to make the playoffs. And these are teams that I both had winning their division.
Yeah, but they're also going to like wreck people in November and December.
Yeah, well, they could finish 8-8, but yeah, they're not.
What if Le'Veon comes back to like a team that's out of it? That would be weird. Then the Steelers would be like incentivized to trade him, and like I don't know.
Well, the problem
is, why would somebody trade for me?
I mean, the market for who's going to.
He said, why would somebody trade a pick and a player for a guy who's not going to re-sign with them?
Yeah.
You know, unless you extend him right when you sign.
Yeah, I mean, unless you're an elite team who, you know, loses their running back, you know, to injury. And
I mean, Philly could make that move.
Well, Philly already did it last year with Ajayi. So yeah, why not double down?
Right. Right, I think they're like, how happy can you be with the Jets?
Do you watch Ballers? You don't watch Ballers. We've discussed this before.
I don't.
You profess to be a fan of the NFL. You profess to be a fan of The Rock, and you don't watch that show.
Mm-hmm.
So there was this. Yeah, there's this absurd story. They have sort of this mix of real and fake. So like the players, all the players and the coaches in the NFL are real, except for the ones in the show. Obviously, are fictional.
Yeah, that sounds.
And like the Cowboys owner is Shooter McGavin. You know the actor Shooter McGavin, that guy.
Not Jerry Jones.
But they call him Boss Man. So he's basically playing Jerry Jones. But then, like, the Rams owner is actually, they call him the same name, although he obviously looks very different. But so the weird thing is like, they have the Rams, just to get, without getting too detailed to the show, like, the Rams are, like, a central team on the show this season because the show's based in L.A. this year. And this this big free agent, like,
how do they have the license to use?
I don't know. There's a superstar free agent running back, and the whole talk is how the Rams should sign him and should spend $15 million on a second running back, even though they have Todd Gurley. And they're like, think of how dynamic it'd be in the backfield. What to spend $30 million on running backs? Like, who are you, Dave Gettleman? It's insane.
So Todd Gurley exists in this world, but they should. They're also supposed to get
the
like,
top running, the Le'Veon Bell, yeah, free agent, top running back on the board, yeah.
That's wild.
It's actually even weirder because the guy, like, he's actually like a slot receiver, but he wants to become a running back because obviously you'd rather be a running back and have a 6-year career than be a receiver and have a 12-year career. Nothing makes sense on this show. But
yeah, I'm already mad.
But it's very good.
All right, I am picking the Falcons to win that game. Actually,
right. Okay. All right. Again, I think they're the better team. I can't believe the Pittsburgh lost to Baltimore. I didn't see a single play of the game. I have no idea how it happened. But
Titans at Bills. All
right. Yeah, this game is really boring. I'm picking Buffalo to cover for sure. As I said, I don't believe at all in the Titans. I wish I could pick the Bills to win, but I picked them to cover.
No, the Bills are going to have a really hard time moving the ball. The Titans' defense is very good.
Yeah, I picked them to cover in Green Bay, and they did not even score a single point. So, and I started Josh Allen in fantasy, so a double disappointment. So I'm going to pick the Bills to win, but to cover, but they have not earned the right to get picked for a win yet.
Yeah, I got the Titans.
I'm annoyed with this Mike Vrabel love at the moment. He's not a good coach. I'm sorry.
I mean, let's not say he's good or bad at this point.
Well, I'm saying he's bad.
Let's give it. No, yeah. Come on. Give it.
I haven't seen a single play this team's played in the last 2 weeks. So, yeah.
Broncos Jets.
So you're going to this game. It's a very bad game. The Jets are going to win. They have to win, right? If they don't win this, like, it's so funny. Imagine how high you were on Rosh Hashanah just 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, whatever it was, and where you are now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's depressing.
Yeah.
I mean, Todd Bowles, I've never hated a coach this much. Like, I had no faith in Rex by the end.
Did you see that great stat about teams that have attempted a field goal on fourth and less than eight?
Down 20.
It's
the Todd Bowles.
Todd Bowles and Todd Bowles.
Yeah. Well, listen, they've been much more aggressive this year. That's the amazing thing. They've gone for it a couple times where it clearly was like the offensive coordinator's call or something. Like,
I mean, but I thought the same thing last year, which is what does he have to lose at this point? He's not going to have his job anyways, but I guess that wasn't true last year. So maybe
coaches don't like getting blown out. They really hate.
Yeah, but newsflash, he was blown out.
Yeah, but the final score doesn't make it look like it. When they're arguing after the season, they'd be like, we lost this game by 11, this game by 8.
Meanwhile, can we talk for a second? We already passed the Colts. The Frank Reich decision to go for it on 4th and 4 there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Basically, you have an automatic tie, right? If you punt, it's an automatic tie, essentially, because you're going to pin him inside the 20. There's 20 seconds to go. So basically what you were doing is going for the win over the tie. Jack Doyle's out of the game at that point. T.Y. Hilton's out of the game. So they sort of don't have their two biggest weapons offensively for Luck to throw to.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what was your take on that decision?
I think the numbers back up that you punt.
By the way, obviously, if he succeeds, everybody's celebrating him all week. So,
but they don't score still. If he succeeds, they're still too far away to score. So I don't think the upside was there. That's the problem. If they were a little closer, and a first down means like you're one short pass away from field goal range, we could talk about it. But they were just going to tie. They were never going to win that game at that point.
So even if it's a 50% likelihood to convert the fourth down, you're still not 50% to win the game, you're saying.
You're not 50% to win the game at all.
Yeah.
Because what yard line were they on again? Like they were not nearly close enough. There wasn't enough time. I like the spirit of the idea. I think like I'd be happy to have a coach who's that aggressive. But I think that particular decision was wrong.
Yeah, on balance, I'm a Colts fan. Even though my team is 1-3 and they're going nowhere and they're going to lose this week badly,
coaches don't really know how to evaluate a tie as far as like in the standings because it just, you know, there used to be one tie every decade or two at most. And I think coaches now have to sort of consider like, all right, how does the tie work for us? And later in the season, it'll be more obvious. Like, all right, going 9-6-1, we're fine. Whereas a team in danger of being 8-7-1 knows they're not going to have a chance at the playoffs.
Yeah. The general thought process that leads to making that call, I like. So, if I'm a Colts fan, I'm pleased with that. And again, you're not doing anything
Jaguars,
anyway.
Jaguars-Chiefs is a really good game.
Best game of the year.
The Jaguars.
These are the two best teams in the AFC
Jaguars
right now.
Excellent.
Right? I mean, they're two best teams in the NFL outside the Rams. They're 2-3 in my power ranking.
It's probably the second and the third best team. I think the Chiefs will come back down to earth. I'm not sure it's going to be this week. The Jaguars are really hard to move the ball against. You don't have a lot of time to throw. There's no Fournette. Yeldon was able to absolutely tear apart the Jets, but I think a team with real linebackers, you won't be able to do that too. Adidi Westbrook looked really good too. Moncrief looked good. All their receivers all looked good last week.
The Jets don't have, you know, who's.
I mean, the Jets have like the most expensive secondary in the league, basically, and they couldn't. They were the like one or two secondary in Pro Football Focus after 3 weeks, and they just tore them apart. But a lot of it was intermediate passes because the Jets don't have any NFL linebackers on their whole roster. I think the Jaguars are going to be able to win this game. I just don't see if Mahomes can like tear up this defense, then we're really going to have to start building statues, Tim.
Yeah, I actually thought the Broncos had a chance to win, and apparently they did. They blew a fourth quarter lead there. I still think Kansas City's defense is just really bad. So Bortles is the kind of guy who isn't good enough to play well against a good defense, but maybe he can do something against a bad defense. I'm taking Jacksonville to cover because of that extra half point at 3.5. I think it shouldn't be 3.5, but I think I'm going to pick Kansas City to win the game.
Now, so Pat Mahomes, was a pretty good Met in 1990.
Yeah, he was on my team for a long time and was very bad.
Yeah, and then he finally became good on the Mets. His career stats are atrocious. Anyway, who would be like the most random 90s baseball player to be the eponymous, you know, name of like their son to have their same name and be like an NFL star?
All right, well, I'm going to tell you a story, and I might have to edit this out of the podcast. You'll tell me afterwards. I was recruiting for my law firm in August, and I was at the University of Blank Law School, a very good Ivy League law school, and I'm interviewing this kid, and he was... you know, I really liked him. We gave him a call back. We brought him back to the firm. But he was... But, you know, what if his son was, you know, the best quarterback in the NFL?
Right. Anyway, so you just told a story that you're going to have to take out.
Well, what did I say that's bad? I'm speaking personally about a guy that, you know... Yeah, information there. I think that's fine.
No, because you have to take it out. I'm telling you for your sake. Anyway, I'm going to say Glenn Allen Hill. I feel like if it was like a Glenn Allen Hill Jr., that would be fun. But like, I mean, what if we really crossed non-American players? Like, what if Masato Yoshi had a son and he was like, you know, a great
That would be more impressive. Receiver. Yeah, that would be way cooler.
Yeah, Masato Yoshi Jr., I would like get his jersey for sure. Any member of the 99 or 2000 Mets, I'd be psyched if their kid was a star player.
One of the interesting things about ball players. You said Jacksonville could win. Are you picking them?
Yeah, I'm picking them to win. I'm picking them to win, yes. Yeah, Packers at Lions. Let's do this quickly. I'm going to say Packers just because, you know, Rodgers' leg is still.
All right, so I think we're disagreeing on every game so far, every Sunday game so far. The Lions are a better team. Like, the Lions are.
No.
The Lions are an 8-8 team, and the Packers, without a healthy Aaron Rodgers, are about an 8-8 team also. I don't understand why Green Bay's favored in Detroit.
Lions are bad, although I was high in Kerryon
I think you're
Johnson,
basing this too much off of what you saw in week one when Stafford threw five interceptions.
No.
Since then,
no,
they lost a very close game on the road in San Francisco, a very close game on the road in Dallas, and they blew out Detroit at home, and they blew out the Patriots at home.
Patriots, yeah. Yeah.
So now they're playing the Packers at home. They're going to win.
I don't see any proof that the Lions are better than the Packers. Ravens or Browns actually is a good game. Yeah. I think any game the Browns play.
I'm picking the Browns here also. I'm on all these home teams.
I'm going to go with the Ravens, actually. I just think the Ravens are going to win that division.
Yeah, well.
By the way,
I've been wrong on the Ravens just about every week.
What if the Browns are competent? If the Browns are competent, is the AFC North potentially the best division?
By the way, so I didn't see any of that Oakland-Cleveland game, but was...
Yeah.
I mean, how did Baker Mayfield play? Because he had four turnovers, I think? Two interceptions, two fumbles.
Two picks. One wasn't his fault. Okay. But he exactly the same way he looked at the Jets. You know, throwing the ball really hard, flinging the ball, you know.
Well, but if you have four turnovers in a game, then you're the worst quarterback in the NFL. So
the fumbles are a big problem. Okay. Like Darnold was a monster fumbler in college, has not fumbled yet. But the fumbles are a big problem.
The fumbles are also a big problem for my quarterback.
Maybe
Kirk
have
Cousins.
Smaller hands.
A little bit worried about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, Cousins is a fumbler. Yeah. Listen, these guys have small hands. You don't want a small hand.
Yeah, especially when your offensive line can't protect at all. So
yeah.
So should we get to that? Should we get to the Vikings-Eagles game? The rematch of the NFC Championship game?
No. Giants-Panthers quickly. I have the Panthers covering. What about you?
Yeah, sure.
Dolphins-Bengals. This game isn't terrible either.
Yeah,
I feel like we'll learn something
about it. The Dolphins
are
one of the worst 3-0
teams. No, the Dolphins are not bad.
Yeah, they are.
No, they're not. They're fine. I'll tell you why. The Dolphins can do everything a little bit. Tannehill.
They don't have a single skill position player who would make it on like my team.
That's crazy. All their guys can absolutely fly. Every guy on their team runs a 4.3.
All right, well, we just lost to Kiva, which is probably for the best.
Parker
his takes are getting worse
really
and worse.
He hasn't been healthy yet this year, but he's fine.
He was about to start defending the Dolphins' absurdly terrible wide receivers and running backs. I mean,
Kenyon Drake is good.
Kenyon Drake,
not a bad team.
Frank Gore is 40 years old.
They don't have any good players, but they have lots of like B-plus
guys. Oh, you're back.
And then they have pass
rushers. We lost your audio for a while. I was making fun of you. They have pass rushers. I'm talking about their offense. They don't have a single offensive skill position player who would get on the field for the Vikings.
No, that's
so who
insane.
Do they have?
Amendola couldn't play for
Amendola
the Vikings.
Amendola can barely play for the Dolphins.
Yeah. Jakeem Grant, who's absolutely like one of the fastest guys in the league, he could play for you guys. He plays on the bench of, we haven't mentioned, the 0-8 Alex and Akiva team.
I told you two weeks ago you were responsible for this team, so I don't know what the hell's going on with it anymore.
We were competitive this week.
Merida had 30 points out of the Denver defense.
And Mitchell, we went up against Mitchell.
Well, guess what? We survived the Mark Ingram suspension.
Yes. Survived in the sense of.
So we're dead last. Is anybody else 0-8?
Bitten. Yeah, us and Emily Easterly. Shout out to Emily, who usually like wins.
But she has more points than we do, I would bet.
Oh, I'm sure.
We're a distant 32nd. Okay. All right. Well, now we have Mark Ingram back, so we're going to turn it around, baby.
Yeah, and as usual, our bench would have saved us, but we didn't play Laquan Treadwell.
And this is a league where nobody else's bench has any points. I don't know how we've managed to do this.
Nobody, our bench is the best in the league. We just, our starters are the worst.
Not a great situation.
Congrats to us on being 0-8. All right, let's go to the 4 o'clock games quickly. Raiders, Chargers. Listen, you can't really make fun of Gruden that much. They've played hard. They've been in every single game. They're not as bad as we thought they'd
be. Yeah, but they have the worst pass rusher in the league and the best pass rusher in the league they got rid of right before the season started. So, yes, you can make fun of Gruden.
Yeah, all right. People have said that. That's not really an original point. There's going to be way more Raiders fans than Chargers fans at this game in L.A.
That's true about every game in L.A. for every team. The Vikings-Rams game was a
Raiders,
home game for
the Raiders fans are going to – yeah, the Raiders fans are really going to be there. Actually, what a really crazy scene, and I watched the games after they had happened, so I don't know how many people pointed this out, but when the Titans – one, when Corey Davis caught the touchdown pass, he jumped into, like, went to the stands, and it was just Eagles fans.
Yeah.
Like, he couldn't find a home Titans fan.
Not ideal.
To celebrate with.
Yeah.
Like, the Eagles fans are traveling so well right now, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. Wait, did you pick Tennessee or Buffalo? Cardinals, I don't remember who you picked in that game, speaking of Titans.
I picked Tennessee, okay. And I'm picking the Chargers here. Cardinals, Niners, worst game of the year so far. I pass. I don't even care.
Doesn't even care.
I'll pick the Niners to win, but the Cardinals to it's like 4 points right now. The line moved up, I think, right? So I'm picking the Cardinals.
Yeah, this is a very bad game. You're picking the Cardinals to win?
No, Niners to win, Cardinals to cover.
Yeah, no, that's fair. The Niners really, I think, you know, first of all, I don't know why the Chargers were favored by 10 last week. The Chargers shouldn't be favored by 10 against anybody. They showed that against the Bills. Right, like I, and that was one of the lines I was way off in that line when I guessed last week. I guess it'd be 6, so I obviously bet on San Francisco to cover. I didn't think it'd be as close as it was. You know, I don't know if C.J. Beathard is any good or if you have to credit the coach or what's going on there. But yeah, I think San Francisco will win this game, but I don't know why their 4.5 points is too much. And Josh Rosen made a nice little comeback in the fourth quarter there against Seattle.
Yeah, yeah. I hope Rosen's not better than Darnold. Yeah. That would suck. Eagles, Vikings, give me your – so first of all, not only is it the NFC Championship rematch, but, they're, you know, both quarterbacks, Keenum and Nick Foles, are gone.
Yeah.
So this is a Wentz-Cousins matchup. But other than that, give me a reason why, like, the Eagles, which manhandled you on every play last year, aren't going to whoop you guys again.
Have you watched the Eagles the last 4 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, they can play a little defense.
They barely beat the Titans – or they lost the Titans. They barely beat the Colts. They barely beat Atlanta. Mm-hmm. They lost to Tampa. They've been unimpressive all 4 weeks. I have the Vikings above Philadelphia in my power rankings right now. The issue with the Vikings is, and it is what it was last year, which is the second half of the season, their pass rush completely disappeared. And the same this year. You know, obviously, Everson Griffin going nuts is part of it, but that's not enough of an excuse. They still have Linval Joseph and Anthony Barr and Danelle Hunter and Harrison Smith and all these guys who are supposed to be able to get to the quarterback. So I don't understand why they're getting no pressure on the quarterback. The only time that they got any pressure on the quarterback was Rodgers, who literally couldn't move. And even there, the only reason they got any sacks is because it was plays where a healthy Rodgers would have, you know, evaded the rush and probably, you know, thrown the ball down the field. So I'm very concerned about the pass rush. And the offensive line is terrible again. You know, second week in a row that they basically lost the game because of strip sacks of Cousins. And their running back is averaging like 2.1 yards a carry. So that's also not ideal. So I'm very concerned about both of these things.
Yeah.
All that being said, I'm for sure picking the Vikings to cover. Yet, although
it, I'm going to pick the Eagles to win.
Yeah, I'm going to pick the Eagles to win, but I think it's a coin toss game. So I'm taking the points.
The Eagles have
looked really unimpressive, and the Vikings, like, you know, the offense looked really, really good.
Yeah, but Wentz is just back from an ACL. I think they're going to be in form in like 2 or 3 weeks.
Okay, well, he's played the last 2 weeks against Indy and Tennessee, which are not good teams, and he's looked really bad in both.
Yeah, but he probably wouldn't be playing. Like,
and how do you explain normally, the interceptions, like, though? He's had an interception each week, right?
I don't know. Maybe his ACL caused them.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'll pick the Eagles to win.
I mean, he might not be 100% till next year. Same with Watson.
All right, well.
Who's, by the way, been pretty good.
Remember how incensed Shamir was when we wouldn't take the over on 13.5?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, do you think this is not a Super Bowl contender?
No, I think that the only teams that have looked really good so far are the Rams and the Chiefs. So, everybody's a Super Bowl.
Jaguars have looked good.
Yeah, but I don't trust Blake Bortles at all. They just lost at home 9-6 to a garbage team. Like, they're not a trustworthy team.
Yeah.
The Saints are 3-1, but they easily could be 1-3, right? The Eagles are 2-2. The Vikings are 1-2-1. Like, the Ravens? Nobody's good right now. So, yeah, everybody's a Super Bowl contender by default. But, you know, I would really love to see the Vikings get some kind of pass rush. But, yeah, anyway.
What's the line in the Rams-Seahawks game?
So, I guessed 4. I didn't know that Earl Thomas got injured and threw the bird at everybody and all that stuff. It's 7.5, I think, right now.
I mean, I saw you use this excuse. Safeties don't move lines. Quarterbacks
move lines. Okay, but Seattle is a two-player team. Like, 3-52, they're one of the worst teams in the league. And they have one of the top two safeties in the league and one of the top 5 quarterbacks in the league. That's literally all they have.
What about Bobby Wagner also?
Okay, fine. 3-53. Didn't Bill Barnwell actually write during that Seattle-Chicago game? He said, if you took Earl Thomas, Bobby Wagner, and Russell Wilson, and the rest of the Bears, would that be the best team in the NFL? Or something like that, so.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that it does. Safeties shouldn't move lines unless you're Seattle and he's one of your only 3 like good players on your team.
Yeah. What's the line now, though?
It's 7.5.
7, you said?
7.5.
7.5. I mean, I'm definitely picking the
Rams. That's a ridiculous line for a road line for the, you know. I mean, look, the Rams have looked really good,
no,
but
nobody's, yeah.
The Vikings went up and down the field on them.
Like, come on.
With complete ease.
Yeah. It's Seahawks.
They don't have any cornerbacks.
Seahawks.
I'm going to pick Seattle.
I have the Seahawks covering plus.
Okay, fine. So we agree.
All right, the Texas game, Cowboys.
This
Texans.
Is the craziest line of the year. Houston is a zillion times better than the Cowboys. The Cowboys are a bottom 5 team.
No, no, they're not. You haven't seen them play. They've been competent the last couple weeks.
I did not see them.
The Cowboys are the definition of an 8-8 team.
No, they're not. They're the definition of a 6-10 team. This is my lock of the week. Put all your money on Houston covering 3.5.
I mean, I like Houston. The Houston line is going to have such problems blocking Dallas, though. I'll pick the Texans to win, but I don't know. The spread I'm indifferent on. I guess I'd split it and pick Dallas.
Right.
But I have the Texans winning. Okay. Monday night game is an okay game. Not so exciting.
Well, so Washington is in first place in their division all alone. They've had 2 weeks to prepare. I don't know if the Andy Reid record before and after the bye washes off on his former quarterback. But New Orleans, everybody's slurping New Orleans right now.
Alex Smith just looks bad now. It makes it seem like, oh, Alex Smith sucked. Like, Andy Reid's a genius, and he turned Alex Smith into something decent.
Well, so here's the thing. Like, New Orleans is 3-1, but they got killed at Tampa at home, which in hindsight is inexcusable. Then they only beat Cleveland because of the kicking woes, so they should have been 0-2. Then they won, like, an overtime sort of very lucky game in Atlanta, so they could easily be 0-3. And then they beat the Giants, who are another bottom 5 team. So I'm totally unimpressed with the Saints. I think this is a game I want to see something from Washington, because Washington also has been like Jekyll and Hyde. You know, they go into Arizona, win, then they lose at home to the Colts, then they beat the Packers easily at home. So I don't know what to expect from either one of these teams. I'm going to take the points just because I think it's too much, but New Orleans has to win this game, I assume. And if they do, they're basically in the driver's seat. They're going
to
get a bye. Who else is going to get a bye in the NFC?
I mean, they should get
the Vikings or Eagles is going to have 3 Lamar's losses amazing. After this week.
Mm-hmm. They should get a bye. They're incredible.
Who, the Saints?
I mean, like, offensively, they do.
So you ignored everything I just said. Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
You ignored them losing at home to Tampa and Cleveland.
Listen, Tampa is.
Those are 2 more bottom 5 teams. I have 20 teams in my bottom 5.
What? You have 20 teams in the bottom 5. Maybe you should watch. How about this week you watch football and then you let us know next week with the real bottom 5.
That's a hot take, but I
watch the Jets Broncos. You'll see some of the bottom 5. Yeah.
Like,
I really do think the Broncos.
The Vikings Eagles game being at 4:25 is not ideal for me in terms of sort of my Sunday game planning, by which I mean for my wife.
I'm gonna have to listen to that game on the radio on the radio on the way.
Well,
home.
Well, you're gonna be in the Meadowlands. Why don't you just stop by Englewood? It's on the way. You're gonna have Grandpa with you, right?
I don't think Grandpa Howard's gonna want to stop in Englewood to watch the game at Chester's house. Grandpa Howard, not a big 32 fans listener. I don't think he knows what this is.
Does he know what a podcast is?
Yeah.
Oh, he does know what a podcast. Oh, he's like, much more with it than a lot of our friends.
Yeah, okay. I had a friend banned from the Serial Tournament, and I ended up mentioning the Serial Tournament to him, and he was like, "What is this?" And I'm like, "You know, it's for 32 fans. We're doing this Serial Tournament." And he said, "What all good friends should say."
What's
to
32
me.
Fans?
He said, "What is 32 fans?" Yeah. I'm like, "All right, so now you're really banned from the Serial Tournament."
Wait, is this? Are you talking about Chemi?
Yeah, Chemi did not know. Chemi did not know what 32 fans
was.
That's
funny.
After spoiling the game for you,
he didn't know he was the star of the episode last week.
Yeah. Well, he's not going to listen. I did tell him we talked about him, but he's not going
to
listen.
We don't want him to, so that's good.
All right, I will see. I'm going to see you Saturday night for the Serial Tournament. Now, let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. Should the people who come be allowed to vote? I think they should have some.
I don't
form
think we want to be encouraging people to come. That's the problem.
No, but the people who have already told me they're coming can come. So, like, can the Ovs of the world, do they get a vote?
We'll have to figure it out. I mean, there's a lot of rounds, so every round
think,
has to have a different voting system.
I think they should. Yeah, I think we have to come up with this like tomorrow. I think it'll be boring if they just watch and they have no say. I think they should be allowed to eat, and there's enough food for everybody.
I like how you're concerned about being boring for them. Again, these are people who are willingly doing this. We're not asking them.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I think they should. Like, maybe we each get like one vote and they get a half, or like the fan vote counts as one. But they have to have some input. I think.
Yeah, again, it depends. There's a lot of rounds. I think for every round, we have to have a different.
Also,
kind of
like how much are we weighing dry food? Because I've had a lot of cereal conversations with people the last few days. Like certain, there. Let's just say Fruity Pebbles, right? I love Fruity Pebbles, but eating Fruity Pebbles dry is crazy, right? Those pebbles don't really
Wait,
work.
We're not.
Out of
you're
milk.
Not providing milk at this event.
I am providing milk. I'm asking if one of the round, if one of the components should be how the cereal tastes. Out of
Wait,
milk.
So I wanted to tell you my take about Berry Berry Crunch, and you said I had to save it. But now you're allowed to talk about cereal on this podcast?
No, because this is a scoring question that needs to be decided beforehand.
No, we'll discuss it Saturday night. All right.
All right, fine. We'll get to all the logistics. I already wrote an intro. It's lit. We're going to have a good time. People are very excited about the cereal tournament. My siblings were saying, like, they mentioned it to some people, and everyone has a take on, like, what the best cereal is. Like, oh, well, and everyone's just like, your brother, when he saw this, like,
people
well,
are so
obviously
sure.
Rice Krispies.
He can't even spell Rice Krispies.
Yeah, he can't spell Rice Krispies. Your brother has, like, lived outside. I assume he's a smart guy. He's lived outside the United States for, like, 5 years, and you would never know he lived in the United States for one day. His everything about him, no offense, Sammy, everything about him is Israeli. Like, he speaks with an Israeli inflection. Like, English is his second language at this point. It's pretty wild.
It might be his fourth. I think it's Hebrew, Chinese, Portuguese.
Oh, yeah, because he speaks Chinese also. That's a good point. And his wife. Yeah, and she probably speaks Spanish. She probably picked
up. It's Portuguese, you fool.
English. No, most Brazilians, I think, speak Spanish and Portuguese. Like, in school, your foreign language is Spanish if you speak Portuguese.
But you said Spanish. Like, his wife is Brazilian. They speak Portuguese. Whether or not she may or may not
know
Spanish.
She probably taught him Spanish. But I bet.
But she is not a Spanish speaker. Maybe she also knows Spanish, but you were wrong because you said Spanish.
I was just coming up with more languages for Sammy to know better than English. Right. Anyway, Sammy, answer this question for the podcast next week. Does Tete know Spanish? Anyway, yeah, I'm excited for the cereal tournament. Don't ruin it. Don't come, like, you know, be respectful.
Who are you talking to?
You have to be.
I'm planning on.
Are you excited to meet my parents?
I told you I'm going to be the epic troll of this thing. I'm going to be as insulting as I possibly can.
Don't be a troll. I worked hard on this. You better be excited to meet Rabbi Wienerker, more Melissa.
Yeah, they're not booing. They're looing.
Well, my dad's name is Lou Wienerker, so when he was a young teacher,
you've told the story.
And Lou Wienerker was playing. They would announce him. When
should
he
be Hall of Famer, Lou Wienerker.
Lou Wienerker should be Hall of Famer, Lou Wienerker. A guy came over to me in synagogue this week and was like, who's the center fielder for the Phillies in 1978? And I love that because I used to get those questions all the time, like, because we don't use phones on the holiday. And it's like, Like normally back in the day, I would get calls like, hey, who was the seventh man for the Supersonics 2 years ago? And I would just know it. And even if I didn't know something, like I had all the sports almanacs and stuff, I could easily look it up pre-internet. But I just had no way of knowing. And the guy was just like kicking himself for like 2 hours, not being able to come up with it. I'm like, oh, we'll Google it later.
But, I think it was Gary Maddux.
I think it was Gary Maddux.
I Googled that.
I think that's who he was thinking of. I didn't ask him. Yeah, I think it was, because he said he stole a lot of bases. Gary Maddux stole a lot of bases. Anyway. Did you get a lot of questions like that when you were a kid because you were such a sports nerd?
I get them more now, actually. No, didn't I tell you when I went to that conference in Philadelphia?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you got a really good question.
And these Alta Cockers came up to me and like I was like answering all their questions. Yeah. They were shocked that anybody knew it, let alone anybody in the age of 80. So.
Yeah. All right. This has been fun. Next week we will know more about the NFL when we speak to you.
And a lot more about cereal.
Yeah, we'll know what the best cereal in the world is definitively. All right. Have a good week, everyone. Bye.
Don't care what the size it is, wake up every morning, you know what time it is. Don't need me a cup of that foe, just pour me that marshmallow clovers. When it come to the size of the bowl, the bigger the better. Growing up, I can only have some in the morning, but now it's whenever. Her butter, that cereal. Boxes of hotness all up in my shopping cart. $5 for $10, I'm copping, bruh. No other breakfast is topping, ya. General Mills with that toast crunch. For breakfast and dinner for show lunch. Craving them frosted flakes. Why is that? Because they're great. I don't think you get it. I'm that Applejack flipping Fruity Pebble Pops, getting Rice Krispie, only with the sugar dough. Reese's Puff, Mini Wheat Monster. Had one bowl and can't stop, bruh. Can't forget them Honey Nut Cheerios. Need me another bowl of that cereal. I need some Fruit Loops. I need some Fruit Loops. Maybe some Lucky Charms. Never can have too much. Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Yeah. I'm talking about 2% milk. To go with them tricks I'm about to kill. I'm talking about 2% milk. To go with my everyday milk. Yeah. A bowl of that cereal. 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 I'm talking about 2% milk. To go with these tricks I'm about to kill. I'm talking about 2% milk. To go with my everyday milk. Yeah. A bowl of that cereal.
So I got a homegirl I want to introduce to y'all. Great from the dirty, dirty, dirty south, Slim Sadie.
Yeah, this remix, they call me Slim Sadie, you know who it is. Got me a bowl of that cereal, look at the flick of the wrist. Cocoa Pebbles, Golden Grahams, honey bunches of oats.
Yeah.
Stephen Malcolm is dope, but everyone know I'm the best at the flow.
A bowl of that cereal.
Living original, yeah, they loving the prodigy. Deuces up to all the haters, I bet they still talking my dynasty. Huh, we be the realest, we carry the miracle with us. How can we all be so full of his love? Yes, cereal kill us.
Talk to him.
Captain Crunch, breakfast, brunch, dinner, lunch. Bowl to bowl of that cereal. How can you literally sit there and just eat it once? Yours truly, shout out to all of my cereal killers. I need me a spoon that you dip in the milk and it tastes good.
Some Lucky Charms. Never can have too much. Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Yeah. I'm talking about 2% milk. To go with them tricks I'm about to kill. I'm talking about 2% milk. To go with my everyday milk. Yeah. A bowl of that cereal. 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 I'm talking about 2% milk. To go with these tricks I'm about to kill. I'm talking about 2% milk. To go with my everyday milk. Yeah. A bowl of that cereal.
Steven, wake up. We're ready for you.